Welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels, a Star Wars Legion podcast bringing you the latest news, general perspective, and competitive discussion.
Hello and welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels podcast. I'm Kyle. I'm here with Mike and Evan and Jay. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey.
Who is this guy?
Hey,
everyone, this
me?
Is Jay Schalansky. For those that don't know,
he does exist.
He's real.
Kind of.
Are any of us real?
This is all a simulation.
I didn't know we were going to talk about this. I didn't come prepared.
Jay's jacked back into the Matrix.
No matter what I want, they always bring me back, folks.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad Jay is here because for those that possibly missed last week, this is my last episode on Scoundrels. So Jay's here to help send me off, which is awesome because Jay's been a big part of, obviously the foundation of the Fifth Trooper and a big part of Scoundrels for a significant part of that time. So, we are also, if we have time... So we're going to do some Kyle last episode related stuff. Some of this is going to be a surprise to me, apparently. So I don't actually know all of what this discussion entails. But and then if we have time, we're also going to hit LVO because that did happen this weekend. That could get pushed potentially to the next week where we will have a special guest that is in a better position anyway to talk about LVO related stuff. Because we can say at least now that Rebels did do super well at LVO. So, super duper well.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Sleeper well.
Would you say that they were a sleeper going into the tournament? I don't know about that. But anyway.
Matt, I think we knew sleeper sounds good.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to make puns of it.
Come on. Sorry. I ruined it.
All right. Before we get into the meat of this cast, do you have any announcements for us, Evan?
Super quick. We have a Patreon shout out, Sprue Whisperer. Thank you very much for your support. And this week we have unit guys going up for General Grievous and Darth Vader, both of which I had to mostly rewrite from the ground up because they both had some changes coming into Legion 2.6.
Both are obviously equally just as good.
And they're both as good as each other.
Does your Grievous guy just say Grievous is still bad?
No. I give him a fair shake, and like there's stuff to talk about. He does show up in lists that do well, but he shows up as like the second guy. He's usually not sort of the main dude, but he can get stuff done, and he lets you take an extra Magna Guard in, so that's cool.
That's in character for Grievous, right? He's always the second guy. He's never the dude, you know.
He's certainly not the dude as soon as the fighting actually gets intense. Like, he gets the hell out of there.
Yeah, and if he is the dude in any particular scene, it doesn't typically go very well for the separatists.
No, it doesn't. so that's it. Just check out the blog for new unit guides, and we're going to be back next week with the new format. Got a guest who will be very... very helpful for talking about Rebels in particular. Just a little preview. But yeah, that's all I got.
Awesome. All right. So I think we're going to open this with a sort of a history of Scoundrels. Is that right?
I think that's the plan. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Scoundrels started back in what? 2019? 2018.
2018. Yeah.
Okay. So
7 years ago.
Yeah. I had been writing a blog called Never Tell Me the Odds. I started it pretty darn early in Legion's lifetime. I think Legion released in April of that year, I think, and it was maybe like a month or two after that I started the blog. And then Jay actually had me on as a guest.
Yo, on his podcast. I re-listened to this episode. Yeah. Like two days ago.
I did too because I think I sent Mike a possible clip.
I think you did too.
There were a couple clip-worthy things there.
And I gotta
not have been good.
It was really rough. It was the audio was super super botch. Every time Kyle, like you spoke, and then you like gasped for air. Every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
None of us are ready.
The T-47 is terrible.
Yeah. You know what? I vaguely remember that. There were a couple things going on. First of all, I did not have this thing. I was using an old gaming headset.
Yeah.
So that's one. Two, I mean, that was literally the first audio-based interview / content creation I had ever done. I'd done like speaking and stuff before for other things, but never, recording a podcast or an interview for a podcast. So,
Well, and also one of the running jokes, like on Iron and Tentacles and Fifth Troopers, I never edit episodes, and that has been a very consistent thing from the beginning.
Yep. Anyway, so I went on that episode. I guess the content of that must have been well enough received, because people seemed to like it. I kept writing my blog. Eventually, later in that year, there was kind of like several different people asked me at the same time, have you thought about recording a competitive Legion podcast? Because there was not such a thing at the time. It did not exist, yeah. And several different people approached me and asked me that.
There's only like two of us, right? It was us and Stabcast, I think, were the
Outriders around.
Outriders. Yeah. And I think
Stabcast obviously wasn't gonna fill the competitive niche, so
and they still don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Outriders was pretty sort of a generalist podcast as well, as was the Fifth Trooper. So there wasn't really like a dedicated competitive Legion podcast. So I'm like, you know what? I've never done that, but that sounds kind of fun. Let me figure out how to do this. So the first thing I did, of course, was message Jay, because I had been, on your cast and I knew that you had a cast. So I was basically like, do you have any tips? Like, how do I do this? And you were basically like, well, why don't I just help you? I'm like, okay, sounds great.
Yeah.
So Jay became our producer. I got Mike and then David Zelenka. They were the two original Scoundrels members. David, of course, now with Yavin Base, which is now a different name, something Moon. I'm sorry, David, if I'm not plugging your thing correctly.
Winter Moon.
Winter Moon. That's it. Non-IP infringing moon-based name.
Network. Yeah, that was very smart of him.
Yeah. Yeah. So Winter Moon Gaming is what it's now called. So you can still check him out over there. But obviously he did Yavin Base for years and years, as well as initially being part of the Scoundrels for quite a long time period.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize to the various Scoundrels co-hosts. We're not going to probably talk about every single person that's been on the cast over the years, because it's been a lot. I don't remember all the time periods, but for a while we had Zach Barry. And then Jay.
I love that you just named one.
There's that one guy.
Well, Zach was a permanent, a permanent third for a while.
Yeah.
And then Jay was a permanent third. And then we had, like a rotation that included like Timbo and Matt Bronson. And then
Lucas, Andy.
And Lucas. And I don't think Andy was ever on as like a.
I think Austin was on a couple times too.
Austin
right?
was on a few times. We've had like a lot of guest hosts.
Yeah, a lot of rotations.
I'm not going to like name all of them.
Yeah.
I apologize. But yeah, I mean, it's been great over the years. Obviously, we've been doing this for, I guess, more than 6 years at this point. I don't think that we've ever missed a week release. I remember even when we did, I don't want to say ever, because 6 years is a long time. But generally speaking, like even when we did the holidays and we were all gone, we would typically kind of like advance record a couple episodes so that we could make sure that we released something every week.
No, I don't think Scoundrels had ever missed a week, not one, because we always had something. Like we wouldn't be always on the same day. We would sometimes be a little late or something, but we've always hit every week. I mean, there was a good stretch there for like the first 5 years that I was doing Fifth Trooper and Scoundrels, so we had two podcasts going every week for 52 weeks a year for 5 or 6 years. It was wild. But I have to say, like, honestly, as much as I loved doing the Fifth Trooper with Evan, and that was a blast, doing Scoundrels with you guys was just amazing, because there was like legitimately like half the time we would want to start at a certain hour and we wouldn't start for another hour because we'd all just be catching up, like talking and just like nonsense, just pure nonsense for an hour. And then we'd finally get to recording and we'd all be like exhausted by the time we finished, because it's like midnight, you know. And no, it was a ton of fun. And man, those early days were pretty amazing. And just like, you know, being kind of like some of the first content creators for Legion was just such a cool thing. And just seeing for you guys, like just all the like respect you guys would get at tournaments and stuff, and people coming up and talking to you, and just loving the podcast. And I know, you know, that's how several folks who write for us or have written for us, that's how they came to come work at the Fifth Trooper, was because they were just such big fans of the Scoundrels. So,
and you know, it's meant a lot to me over the years to have countless people come up to me and be like, hey man, you know, basically I got into Legion because of you, or I'm sticking with Legion, you know, because of your show. Like it means a lot when people say that. I mean, even last week, several people posted comments on the YouTube, basically saying something to that effect. So, you know, I've been very grateful over this time period to be kind of like an ambassador for the game, and particularly for the competitive scene, and making sure that, you know, trying to make sure that people aren't intimidated by that, you know. So, yeah.
Well, I'll say personally, you guys made me a better player, you know, and for the first X years, I don't even remember, where I was just kind of like behind the scenes, just, you know, for those of you that don't know, legitimately the first, what, 4 or 5 years, I just sat on mute and just listened to these guys talk.
I don't think it was quite 5 years.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it felt like 5 years.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure it
did. 3 or 4. All right. But anyways, the first bunch of years, I was just on mute on the call with them, just listening to the podcast and then writing down if, because, you know, we were trying to be PG and everything. And so, like, in case one of these guys threw out an errant F-bomb or something, I had to, like, put in an R2-D2 beep to make it go away. But, yeah, I mean, I learned so much from you guys. And, like, honestly, you guys, whatever quality of play that I ever had was because of you guys and listening to you. So I definitely appreciate, you know, everything you guys did and all the conversations, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. And it's, I would always say, look, I get to just hang out with my buddies and talk about a game that I love every week, and it just happens to be recorded, you know? So, yeah, it's been fun. I don't know. I'm not big on
cue the Sarah McLachlan music.
I was thinking about like what song should we break DMCA with. I was thinking about, like, because, you know, I had seen Deadpool and Wolverine a few months ago, and like at the end they have like a very intentionally cheesy Green Day like Time of Your Life cut. We should do that, but we would make YouTube mad probably if we did that.
We'll just demonetize this video. It'll be fine. You know, we won't
have to do anything. Just put the music there.
I'm just imagining that music while it's like audio of Kyle going into, okay, so like a Z6, this can get you 2.4 hits on average. Compare that to a DLT.
It's gonna be like
2.8. Okay, sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Can I get the average for a full arc roll now?
Yeah.
More. It's higher.
It's more than that.
I do. This just popped into my head. I think one of my favorite memories with all of you guys was the first Adepticon that we streamed. That was wild and just pure insanity, and I can't believe we pulled off what we did. And for those of you who don't know, we were streaming two tables simultaneously.
Yeah.
And cutting between the two. And, you know, at that time, we were really trying to make a splash, and I kind of put out an edict that we were all going to dress in suits. for the stream, and so we all dressed in our Sunday best, and you know, we were streaming. Oh, hey.
Oh, there Mike. It is. Yeah.
Man,
all right.
Mike, you've got look at this really, guys. Really good. and we are, so that is actually the Thursday night before. I think we were testing all the equipment, and Luke Cook was playing. He just with the tank, the gav tank, and the air speeder came out, and he was like land speeder. That's what it was. Yeah. And he hastily put together a tank, and we got him up on stream like the Thursday night before for a test stream. And that was kind of our whole like test scenario. That was a wild time.
Yeah. I remember that banner. And banner really sticks in my brain.
That was great times.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was, I think we ended up streaming Adepticon a total of 2 times. Lucas did it where he mained it 1 year as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we did 3 altogether.
Was it 3? Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm losing track because we've streamed some others with a couple other things too.
Yeah. But... LVO. Yeah, we've done a number of things. But yeah, this was my favorite. That picture perfectly encapsulates that time.
Yeah, yep. I love this picture. I think this is still the background on my Facebook. I don't know. This definitely was like the best time in Legion for me. Like, it was just like we were all just hanging out, having fun. It was purely for funsies at that point. No other reasons to be there, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Look at how dark my hair is.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, Kyle, but like one of the things that I noticed when I looked back at old videos of you is that your hair is a lot brighter on screen. That's a good euphemism, right? It's very silver. Bright.
Yeah, bright. Blinding.
I think we've all got a little bit more gray hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and I think Adepticon for me, though, that's my favorite show anyways overall. But like, that's like the pinnacle of all the Fifth Trooper kind of get togethers, and like where not just you guys, but the whole staff has had the opportunity to all get together at these great Adepticon events. And so whenever I think about anything that we've done from a content perspective, for me, it always goes back to Adepticon and getting to hang out with everybody at the show, and Kyle being a native of Chicago, always telling us the best places to eat and taking us to different places. And you know, it's weird. It definitely feels like a little bit of an end of an era for me. And so a little bittersweet. So, but pretty excited.
So you said you guys all wore suits that year when you did the finals broadcast.
Yeah, we did.
It's funny how like in the first year that I was there with you guys is that it got a lot less classy. Is that we all wore nationalistic like USA jogging pants and headbands. I think both Kyle and I were on stream on separate days wearing our ridiculous gear.
Yeah,
and we both lost on stream, actually.
We did. Yeah,
didn't
it
work
was
out
not
super
great.
Well.
Yeah, I had like the USA pants, you know, with the giant American flag pants. And then
we both lost to Europeans, actually. So, yeah, it wasn't a great showing for our country.
you know, that was a fun world, though.
Yeah.
That was the year of Blizzard Force.
It was.
I think so.
Yeah. Which, you know, ultimately didn't end up winning.
No.
Was that the year or the year before that we got jerseys for everybody too?
It was that year.
Yeah. So we all got TFT jerseys. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Evan, when we that first Adepticon, I think we were probably both in. I think I was a couple months ahead of you guys as far as the podcast, but like we were only in the podcast game for about 6 to 8 months by the time that rolled around. And at that time mentally, I thought, hey, we're gonna make this big splash and we're gonna be the pros, like the ESPN of miniature gaming streaming.
Yeah.
And and you know, I think people liked our content more than liked what we were wearing, so that's but that was always the idea. I mean, Kyle and I probably toiled over Like, remember, Kyle, we were talking about we ended up being able to draw on stream to show where like some of the units were going and stuff.
Yeah,
And
there's
like
a
we
telestrator like football style.
yeah,
Yeah.
we labored over that
Yeah.
forever to make that work. And oh my God, that was such a good time. And just like what a wild experience. But that's one of by far one of my top five with you guys is that first Adepticon.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I remember about that one was I feel like Rachel ended up getting us deep dish pizza like
Yeah.
10 p.m. and she just
Yeah.
came in with like boxes on boxes, and I'm like, where is all of this coming from? And I had never had it before. Oh man,
Yeah.
delicious. Absolutely delicious.
I think that, yeah, and then one morning she brought in a bunch of like crazy donuts too. I don't know if you remember that. Like, yeah, that's, yeah, those were, that's literally my memories is hanging out with you guys and Rachel just bringing us food. Like,
We
that's,
would just be sitting there for like
yeah.
14 hours straight behind these computers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a four round when it was still four rounds a day, like by default. So that was, yeah.
They were long days
They
for
were
sure.
long days. Yeah. And I mean, I was playing as well. So I think that I did like casting for the whatever the equivalent of the LCQ was. And then I played in
I
the,
think it was actually the LCQ at that
was it
point in
the
time.
LCQ? Because
Yeah.
was there an LCQ and then a High Command, and then
Yes.
that was the year that they did basically the top eight from High Command went like on an all expenses paid trip to FFG headquarters for the World Championships. And that for me is definitely one of my most salient Legion experiences. You know, they took all eight of us, they flew us all there, they paid for our hotels, we got like basically a day to just hang out with the devs. And like they previewed some stuff for us. It was really cool. And
Pretty
then
cool.
we actually played, you know, 2 days of the World Championships with just the eight of us. It was like round robin style, and then elims on the second day. Like right there in FFG headquarters. And it was
I'm
awesome.
laughing because that was the point because of me being an animal with marketing. I had made uniforms for all the world's players to wear on stream and it had their names but then our logo on it too and that was the turning point of where people thought we were actually FFG thought we like
Well, they
we
thought we
worked
had like
on the
officially
game
sponsored it. Yeah. And it's
and all
like,
I did was just send the eight top guys t-shirts for free
Yeah, that was great. Because you'd have us on stream, like leaning over the tables, and it'd just be on in big letters on the back, the fifth trooper, on the
Jeez.
sleeves and everything.
Yeah,
It
I
was
put the
great.
logo on the sleeves too, so when they would like reach over, you would just see our logo go across the table. Yeah.
But
The
who knows,
next
you know,
level.
maybe that stuff is what put Fifth Trooper over the edge at that time because, you
Who
know,
knows?
I don't know, 'cause like I started in 2020 basically, and by then you guys were very established, but something had to have happened before that to make that happen, right? And so you know, Jay, your impressive level of hustle, that may have been it.
Just my ridiculousness of like, no, hey, oh, free shirts for everybody. Yeah, just wear them.
Yeah, here
I
you
need our
go.
logo on every angle.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments is when Mike and I got to play each other in the LVO final. I don't know if you have that photo, Mike, but I have it if
I can probably find it, or if you send it to me on Discord real quick, I can put it up there.
Okay.
That was a crazy. You're talking about LVO 23, right? 2 years ago. Yeah,
Yeah,
that
because
was.
it was me, Mike, Evan, and Timbo.
Yeah,
Basically,
it was the
it was
TFT top four.
the three of us plus Timbo, all in the top four.
And also in that tournament, I played Austin Millard, future TFT, and also won Johnny Bushfacks. So for me, it was like, and I played Mike on day one. So it was
Yo,
like
that was
a
brutal.
super
That was
TFT.
such a brutal game, Evan. I look back on that game with so much regret.
Yeah, Mike and I both remember one particular deployment of a full arc squad that ended up being a problem for him.
Oh, it should have been sort of defined the entire game. And, oh my god! And like halfway through turn one, I was like, this was a mistake. Oh man! It was
yeah,
so
like
bad.
By turn two, I was basically like, I'm just gonna take Darth Vader and hide him behind this building for a while, and I'll just let you come to me.
And I think. Was that new climbing rules?
That was still the old.
That was still the old one.
Old okay. climbing rules. Yeah.
I just remember your Vader was like, kind of like hopping out and doing stuff. If I were like,
oh wait, it wasn't new rules this year. It just happened a month previous. So yeah, it was the new climbing rules. So Vader, yeah, he did the speed one move. He got up there. And I was like, I'm just gonna chill here if you're cool with that.
So bad. So I decided a full frontal assault into a Vader that they could hide behind a wall in yeah, old
didn't
rules.
Work out.
It was so bad. So bad.
You know, Evan, honestly, I think my greatest talent has just been talking you guys up and just being like, all the guys number one work for the fifth trooper. that's all I have. I'm not it's just talking all the guys we had on the team. Oh yeah, look at that.
There it is.
That's what a boss is supposed to do, man.
This picture there, you can't really see it, but there's like 30 people watching this game.
Yeah,
like
just standing around.
Yeah, they're like in chairs and stuff, like around the table, kind of like from the angle that this picture is taken from.
And
but honestly,
they were all rooting for you, Mike.
They were.
I think you
yeah.
That.
I think that's, I think I made a game of it.
You did, yeah.
Considering I brought 501st and made it good before it was cool.
Yeah, you were the people's champion in that particular game.
Yeah.
Back then, 501st was a hipster choice. Not so much the case 3 months ago, but
no.
And look at that classic Scoundrels T-shirt too.
Right.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. I actually have two Scoundrels T-shirts. I have one that has that is blank on the back, and one that has my name on the back. So
nice.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. I think you probably. How many of my arcs do you think you force choked that game?
It was like it's individual arc models. I think it was only three. It might have been four. It was four because of Implacable.
Yeah, they
got an Implacable double.
Got
yeah,
another one in there.
Yeah, it was one of those games where I think the original we were playing Breakthrough and it was Battle Lines. So you basically just went right in the middle because you wanted to make sure that I couldn't like toilet bowl you.
Yeah.
And then I think you were actually trading pretty favorably in the early attrition rounds. And
yeah,
then...
I mean, the arc snipers definitely like can they put the pressure on you, and if you don't, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Was there four in that list?
There was four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Vader got in and just killed everything by himself, basically.
As he does.
Yeah, as he does. Anakin tried to stop him, but Vader was just like, "Nah." Get out of
yeah. Move,
go over there. You're not worth my time, basically. well, he continued murdering arcs, so yeah.
Yes, he did. He murdered them quite well. I mean, I think it ended up being sort of close.
It ended up being close. It was one of those things. I mean, this was Old Legion, right? It was the swings, right? It was one of those things where it was like kind of leaning Mike until like round three, tail end of round three, and then it was like leaning Kyle, and then it just and ended up that way at the end of the game. But it wasn't like a blowout or a slaughter or anything.
No, and it did force you to like, you had to make like a serious play in order to make that happen, like for
yeah
sure.
I had to dive with Vader or yeah. I was gonna lose. So yeah, I mean that's how Blizzard, one of the I think the most favorite list that I played over the many years, and I've played a lot of different things, is Blizzard, because it inevitably just required you to put the game on Vader's back, and that was just really fun. Also, speeders were really fun with the flanking and
yeah
and all that. But it was basically, it was an objective focus list that forced you to get the most out of Vader, and that was the most fun for me. Second, I think, is Palpatine. That was my second favorite list. But yeah. And then after that, I don't know. It's kind of a shuffle.
Yeah, not the B2 spam.
Which one, the 2.6 B2 spam or mol B2s? When B2s
Oh, I was gonna say
came
mol
out,
B2s. I think mol B2s was probably a better list for its time.
it definitely was. It was it was a list that people copied for a time period after, I don't remember what tournament that was, ACO, I think, Atlantic City. I definitely mol B2s was better relative to the other things that were out there than currently B2 spam is or has been in 2.6. But yeah, I mean, that was a fun list, but it wasn't like uniquely fun in the way that Blizzard or Palpatine were. Yeah. So
the time period also was just not made for it, I think, at that specific juncture.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I played Wonder Twins for the first like year or so of the game, Luke and Leia. Rebels was my first faction, then I got into Empire, and then I played Empire for a long time. Empire has definitely been my most successful faction.
Yo, can we give a shout out to a hero that has not been named on this cast for quite some time?
Okay.
It's a 5-letter word, starts with B and ends in Osk.
Bosk, yeah. Yeah. Bosk is the hero that converted me to Empire. I won Invader League, I think it was season 3. That was the first tournament that I'd played Empire in, and I just went in totally cold. And I went whatever it was, 10-0 in that tournament with Bosk and Veers. And I was like, this is amazing. Why haven't I been doing this the whole time? And then Nova Open, I played Empire again, and that's the first tournament I took Palpatine to. And again, I was like, this is amazing. Why haven't I been doing this the whole time? So, yeah, Bosk. There was a time period when
I feel like Bosk was the unit that like you hit your stride with.
Yes.
Like,
that was kind of like my breakout time period, I think, when I first started playing Bosk, and then I converted to Palpatine. Kind of what put me on the map, I think, at least as a competitive player. But
Kyle, what was in like wave 1, wave 2, what was like your favorite mechanic from back then?
Favorite mechanic. Wave 1. I'm trying to think of something that's like specific to those waves and not generally Legacy Legion.
I think there's like two we used to talk a lot about that were okay. People didn't know were happening. I think I remember actually learning it from you, and I was hoping you were going to remember, but the force push off the table.
Well, see, the thing is, so the first time I met Mike, actually, this brings up a story. I'm glad you brought this up, Jay.
Yeah.
First of all, for this bit, I would not say that was a favorite mechanic because it was a dumb mechanic.
You say that, but it was one you used copiously.
Yes. I mean, look, man. I mean, if it's there. Anyway,
you call that the Dorn boss. If there's something busted in the game, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to do it for the people, though.
That's right, for the people.
I want them to fix it. That's what I want.
I'm just bringing an attention to it. Look, it's purely altruistic. You know?
I play Blizzard Force for 8 months.
That's right. Some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make.
For the greater good.
Yep. No, Mike and I met. So we met on Discord because I actually noticed that Mike's tag had the DC area in it or something. So I'm like, hey, maybe he's near me. I'll message him and see if he wants to play. So we met at a store that I think is not even there anymore.
I don't know.
In Chantilly, Virginia.
Yeah.
And you were playing Vader and I was playing Luke, and I forced push Vader off the table and he died.
Whoa. let's be clear. I didn't realize this was a thing. Okay. Like at all. So we're like about to play command cards, and I think you're like, you know, I can just like force push you off the table, right? And Vader at this point is already 3 inches from the table edge. Like, this information is not super helpful in this structure. like I needed to know this like 20 minutes ago. Yeah, suffice to say, Vader tasted the black abyss of
the floor. Yep. Yes.
Wow, I learned just now that that was a thing. Like, I guess that they carried that over. You know, Alex Davey had worked on Next Wing, and so I guess he initially that was carried over. That is the rule in Next Wing, is that if you flew off the board, then that ship just like instantly died. And then of course, like for a long time, you could panic move off the board, but I never knew that you could force push somebody off the board.
Yeah, that's crazy. It was. I think it was not necessarily an intended thing in that like. The original language basically said if a unit ends a move off the table, it's defeated. And the primary context for that was panic.
Right.
Which, by the way, I really super miss being able to panic units off the table, because that was awesome.
There was some like fun moments with that for sure.
But yeah, so as a consequence of that, if you could perform moves with opposing units to move them off the table, then they were defeated. I remember I did the same thing to somebody in the first Nova, and they also did not know that was a thing.
And I'm sure they had a great time because of it.
Yeah, it was not a good mechanic.
Well, then I think Kyle and I talked about it, and then I did it to Evan at like our local tournament, won the tournament because of that.
It's like one of those things. First time it happens to you, you're like, this feels terrible. And then every game after that, you just don't put your units within 8 inches of the board edges. Yep.
Yeah, I think in my defense, Mike, in our game, I think I did it back to back. I think I did it last first.
You totally did. You last first did it. And I think it was like a roll-off situation where if I had like won a tiebreaker, I would have been able to kind of like get out of the situation.
Yeah.
But alas, I think you won the roll off on Son of Skywalker.
Yeah, I think I gave you enough of a heads up that you knew that you needed to play a one pip.
Yes, 100%. It was like a one pip for a coin flip on losing my 230 point unit who had full health.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was not a good mechanic. Good thing that, I mean, that didn't last past the first year of the game. That was one of the first changes that they made besides, you know, the key positions change and then making snipers range 5 instead of range unlimited. Range 5 was not a thing when the game first came out. There were only 4 range 6 in the core set. And then range 5 was basically invented in order to nerf snipers.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the other one was snipers being able to deploy at different elevations. Remember that, too?
Corner peeking snipers where you can only see one model, so you only could kill half the squad even if you rolled 10 hits.
I hated that so much when I was a new player.
Yep. Another good change.
Was it?
Yes. Well,
I missed that.
Yes, before. Mike. I had a game where I had 4 Z6 heavies that were corner sniped in like the same round. Because my opponent was good at the game and I certainly was not at the time.
But every time you did that, it felt like you were just like
the other guy.
Yeah. I remember at the first Adepticon, I was playing Kingsley in, I think it was the last round of that tournament, who at the time was like undefeated, and he did end up beating me in that game. But I remember lining up a scope on 2 Z6s at the same time between 2 pieces of terrain. It was like a V-shaped shot because he was really good about putting his Z6s in the middle of his models. Mm-hmm. And I managed to get them between 2 terrain pieces where I had Z6s from 2 separate models, like back to back lined up on I think it was on an orbital bombardment. So I was able to shoot both of them, and then he made his saves and I was like, it's like I worked so hard for that.
Sometimes the force is with you.
Yep.
Oh man. And then before silhouettes, when if you could see the model, you could shoot it.
Oh yeah, Boba Fett's gun sticking out around the corner.
Luke's lightsaber
sticking straight up. the darn Wookiee leader with his sword straight up above his head. Yeah.
Yeah, that was part of the reason why people were like throwing shades at Wookiees early on, is that they were like raising their arms everywhere.
They were too tall.
They were too tall. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. A lot of good changes over the years. Let's be honest.
We're like a bunch of old men around like the domino table, just talking about the good old days right now.
Yeah. Back in my day, forced to push off the table.
I love it so much. And the T-47 was garbage.
Yeah.
and now it is again. Time is just a flat circle, right?
Yeah, yep. That's right.
Was it ever good?
It was briefly there was good a moment. before Shadow Collective and Blizzard Force came out. And that and you know, go figure, is that this is, I think, when Kyle was playing T-47s was like the one time in the game's history that they were good.
Yep.
But you did Wookiees in T-47s, right?
Yeah, that was SoCal Open.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I won SoCal Open with that. That was when like everyone was taking Wookiee buses.
Right.
Because the bus had just come out. And I was like, you know what's really good against buses? T-47s.
Yep.
And they were. Yeah. So I took Wookiees and T-47s and R2 and a bunch of naked Rebel Troopers, and it was great. So, yeah, they were briefly good. I think that was like the time period when they were good.
Yeah, and then they released Pikes with their range forward impact gun. Right. It's like, I guess T-47's time is over.
Armor. Between those and the spider droids. And all the armor went down.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Those ion spiders. I feel like that's another unit that like it got nerfed into the ground like 3 months like after it was released. I feel like it was longer than that.
It was like 6 months. Yeah. But
Yeah.
It was really good during the Adepticon where Evan Bulris got to top four with Lat Vader.
Yes.
Which was really brave considering how many Ion Spiders were out there, but he still
I think what happened is he basically just dodged them until the top four, and then he ran into them in the top four and immediately
it didn't go well.
Sometimes you just gotta send it, man, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's always the weird thing. I've always felt one of the arguments I think we've always had is like when we're looking at top lists and going to these big tournaments, yes, you're going to eventually run into the top list. Like there's no doubt about it. But at these bigger tournaments, you could be like an Evan Bulris and literally never see a top list until the top four, you know? And so for those of you out there thinking about your next tournament, my recommendation has always been play what you're good at and what you think you're good at, because you may not even see any of the top lists until way later and maybe have an answer for it, you know? But yeah, that's always, I remember all our arguments. Like they would never be on air because I was the man behind the glass. So I would literally just argue with them like off the air for like an hour after the podcast. Well, no, you're wrong. I'm gonna talk about it on my podcast next week.
Yeah, I mean that was Luke Cook's strategy, two-time world champion Luke Cook, for his second win. That was the Blizzard year, but it was also, people probably forget, the Dark Trooper year, when Dark Troopers were, you know, like 40 points cheaper, when they still had full armor and
IRGs could guardian them also.
Yep, and he basically brought a list that had like no additional impact in it. And I remember asking him, like, what are you going to do if you face Dark Troopers? He's like, I don't know. I'll just avoid him.
And he did.
He didn't end up facing Dark Troopers one single time over that entire tournament. So, you know, sometimes you just got to dodge.
Yep. Let everybody else take him out for you.
That's right. Yep. And it turned out what he was running was pretty good against all those other lists that were running, like Impact 12 or whatever. So,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of good times. I played Luke so many times. He won the most important game that we played, which was the first one. But yeah, lots of good times. Yeah. All right. You guys have any like questions for anything related to me or Legion over the years?
Yeah, I have two questions.
Okay.
First off, how dare you? And second, who do you think you are?
Those are both very fair. No, I had So I want to make sure that people understand that the reason that I will not be doing content anymore in the near future is simply because I can't. I mean, I will be not at my house. I will not have access to any recording equipment or any of my personal electronic devices except my iPhone, basically. And I will not have any sort of plug-inable internet access. So, yeah. It has nothing to do with Legion 2.6. It has nothing to do with my opinions of the current game state. So, if anyone was... I'm sure people were speculating, you know, I saw some people post in the comments, oh, you know, thanks Legion 2.6. He must hate Legion 2.6. And it's like, look, it has nothing to do with the game or my opinion on it.
I mean, I do hate it, but not.
Jay, we talked about this.
Oh, right, right, right. We love Legion. Legion's the best.
Yeah. If not for my like literal physical inability to record a podcast for the next 5 months, then I would be recording a podcast next week. So yeah, I wanted to make that like abundantly clear to anybody that was speculating about the reason for all of this. So
he mostly means me. I was the one speculating.
Yeah, Jay was messaging us like, why do you think he's really doing this, guys?
Yeah. I don't know. Why don't you come on and find out?
Why you guys stop talking to me? What's going on?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I will be able to come home on weekends, but I think that spending my weekend evenings doing this instead of with my wife would be unwise.
So long term, I would agree with you.
And it will not be it will not be consistent either.
That's for the best. So,
yeah.
We'll be sure to at you if something crazy happens, just so that, you know, like once every month when you get a chance to like actually like look at your Discord, is that you can go, oh, that's crazy, and then sort of like exit Discord for another 4 weeks or whatever it's going to be.
Yep.
I'd say we can teach him how to like record a TikTok so we can like put it in here, right? But that might not work these days.
It'll be fine.
Yep. I don't even know what that is.
Don't worry. Nobody else does now either.
Yeah, let's see if we date ourselves with this recording.
Right. Time capsule. Right. What's TikTok? All right. Anything else?
Mike, do you wanna play the video we
put
together?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
I have not seen whatever this is, just for the record. So
let me make sure that this is working as intended. Okay. Do you guys see Lucas's face?
Yes.
Yep.
Sweet. All right.
Hey, this is Lucas, aka Technophobia. And I just wanted to say goodbye and good luck, Kyle, for whatever's coming next. You've always been someone who I think is a really big voice in the Legion community, and you're going to be missed. So good luck on what's coming. Sad to hear you leaving, but hope to hear you on the cast again sometime in the future. All right.
Hey, Nick here. Kyle, congrats on recording your last episode of Scoundrels. I'll be the first to say, well, probably not first, but you will be missed. You've always been an important voice in the community, somebody that we've always looked to when we need advice or we want to hear an opinion. I'll miss you at events. You're always a pleasure, and I hope to see you again soon. Good luck with work and everything, and I'm sure you'll be back because, you know, can't keep a good content creator down.
Hi-o, Timbo here, coming to you from LVO, where I'm judging. Thanks for everything, Kyle, from learning from you as an experienced player back in the day to becoming a friend and someone I've learned and talked a lot from. So thank you for everything, and we're sad we're missing you right now.
Here at LVO, all the people.
Thanks for everything. Good luck with all the future.
Hey, AJ here. Just want to say a big thank you to you, Carl. Basically, without you and Jay, like listening to your podcast, sort of them years ago when you first started, I wouldn't have ever started the content of where I'm at. And also, like, listening to you guys talk about events was a big drive for me to actually go to them. And I don't think without listening and getting envious of you guys constantly talking about going to events, that I would never have gone to my first 2-day event and therefore never have met you, never written any content. And that obviously it all snowballs from the start of listening to you and Two Scoundrels and the Fifth Trooper. So I just want to say a big thank you for that, and good luck in your work.
Kyle, aka Archimedes, Luke Cook here. Just wanted to say thanks. It's been a long journey in the Legion scene. You've done so much for the community and the competitive scene especially. We want to thank you for all that you've done. We wish you the best of luck in your journey. Hopefully you someday have enough time to play with plastic miniatures again and we see you back at tournaments again. You've been a longtime friend since 2019. When we first met at Adepticon and then later played in the finals at Worlds in Minnesota. Just want to wish you the best of luck and thank you. All right. See you later, man.
Hey, Kyle. It's Ryan from Stabcast. Sad to hear you're stepping away, running away from our rematch before I could inevitably finally get my revenge. But of all things, I'll probably truly miss you the most at the Twilight Imperium Adepticon scrub out table. If you need anything, give us a holler down south, and we'll see you later, man. Take care.
Man, that was a long game of Twilight Imperium. I actually have not played one since.
Which is probably pretty long, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you need to be able to set aside, you know, 10 hours of your free time, and when do you ever have time to do that except at a convention? So I mean, it was a great time. It was just like, man, this game's really long.
There was a lot of you too. I feel like that was an 8-player game if I recall walking over to it.
Yep.
Yeah,
there's a lot of fun people in that game, but there were 8 fun people in that game. And
I've never played that game with that many people. 6 is all, like, already a lot, and it's like generally like 10 hours. I can't imagine what an 8-player game even looks like.
Yeah, well, thanks, that was great hearing from everybody. Obviously a cast of characters.
I really appreciate everybody who like, they got it together really fast, because I think it was on like Thursday that I had the idea, and so I just was sort of just like hammer messaging a whole bunch of people on Discord, and obviously a lot of people were motivated to answer the call to record a little something for you. So yeah.
Well, it's been great. Like, you guys know I'm not really like a super sentimental type, but
damn it, Kyle.
Look, it's,
what do
it's
you mean? Really,
show that you're a human for once.
You calculator.
Beep bop.
Life recording. Is more than the odds on a Z6 roll.
Recording this terminated.
This wasn't even him the whole time. No.
I'm just going to shut down after this cast. That's the real reason.
Hurry up, somebody get the restraining bolt.
Kyle's going to be wheeled into the National Archives. like the Ark of the Covenant.
Going to be behind. Yeah, in a box. There you go. We've got top men, working on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been awesome. I've got so many great memories from my time in the Legion sphere, in the Legion community. This is without question the best community that I've been a part of related to miniatures gaming or any gaming. I've met lots of great people. And I hope I will definitely be around the community at some point in the future. You know, later this year, I plan to go to a convention at some point. I don't know which one it'll be, because I don't know what my schedule will look like or where I'll be necessarily. But I definitely plan to go to one of the like Q4-ish conventions, just if nothing else, just to show up and see people. So it's not like I'm, you know, disappearing off the face of the earth or anything. But yeah.
Face of the internet, at least.
Yeah, and I plan to go to Adepticon next year, very sad that I can't go this year. Well,
you're dead to me.
Yeah.
So that's
sorry. Sorry, everybody that I normally see at Adepticon.
We asked Jay to be nice to Kyle. And
here we are.
I gave you guys an hour.
Jay, I was just about
what
to
more
do
did you want from me?
A Jay memory. I was gonna say one of my other favorite Legion memories is hanging out with you at like Adepticon headquarters last year, getting all the terrain ready for Adepticon.
That's right.
So, yeah, hanging out with Hank and the Adepticon team and looking at all the Legion terrain and all that. So, that was also really fun.
So, funny story, Kyle. Somebody goes to me, man, like somebody, I don't random, they're like, can you believe all the terrain they had at Adepticon last year? I was like, I can believe it.
Yes. Yes.
Kyle and I painted some of that and put the rest of it together. Like,
yeah, organized it all into boxes, classified and logged all the tables. Yep.
Yeah. No, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun times. They have a crazy operation there, by the way. I know we talked about this last year at some time, but I would really encourage. I know they still have openings for Adepticon. I guess we haven't like explicitly plugged it, but I'd really encourage anybody that's considering going, even though it's in a new location this year, to go, because it's still an awesome convention. It's going to be the same awesome Adepticon. It'll just be different food and much better beer, frankly, in Milwaukee than in Chicago. So
don't you worry, Kyle. Our special guest next week is going to have a special connection to Adepticon. So we're definitely going to be talking about it and hyping it up.
Man, awesome.
Yeah. It's definitely the one tournament, like, if you're going to go to one.
Yeah.
Particularly now that it's open.
Yes.
Right.
That's the one you should go to.
And also, in, like, this year, that if you want to play a straight-up competitive 1,000-point Legion, is that you will be able to do that each of the 4 days of the main part of the convention. So
yeah.
You know, whether you're still in Worlds or not, is that there's going to be stuff for you. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm sure the prize support's going to be off the hook too. So it will definitely not be recycled Worlds prize support from last year.
I'm not sure if you're being sarcastic.
Okay.
Nobody knows. Everything's fine, Mike.
I hope not. A lot of those cars have changed, man.
I have it on faith that it will at least be new stuff.
Still
maybe that's
don't know if you're being sarcastic.
You're so hard to read, Kyle.
I know, that's the idea.
Everything's fine here.
All right, we're all fine here. All right, anything else related to the departure of the robot? Me?
Yeah, you can't quit, you're fired.
Oh, all right. Man, I lost all my Discord access. What happened?
Right. I think I'll just briefly say, even though like with Kyle leaving, is that there's certainly not gonna be anything close to replacing your presence and what you brought in terms of being just like an incredibly skilled player. And so now that the main parts of the podcast are going to be Mike and I, is that the idea is not going to be to try to like fill Kyle's shoes, because I think that is impossible.
I mean, where are we going to find another Android?
Yeah, we can't afford it yet. But
not on this budget.
Hey, so we got to more Patreon and maybe
pump up those Patreon numbers. Yeah. Let's go.
We'll get you guys a robot.
Yep.
And so I think that the idea instead is going to be to, like, the reason why it's going to be the start of a new quote unquote season is that we're going to be trying to do something a little bit different, something that that caters a little bit better to the dynamic that Mike and I are going to have, to where instead of having like two extremely good players, it'll be one extremely good player and one dude who's just kind of there, but
hey, now,
I'm going to try to find some things that make it work. So yeah. We're going to keep things fresh. And we're going to try to get a little bit more involved with the patrons, and we got some cool plans. So I hope you guys all stay tuned is basically what I'm trying to say.
Going to do a Fluttercraft appreciation segment every week.
That'll actually be every episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start slipping it into the in memoriam segment.
All right. Do you guys want to talk about LVO? No. We can briefly hit it. I know
Rebels,
you're
man.
A super special guest next week to talk about Rebels more, but yeah, I mean, Rebels took what, 6 of the top 8 spots?
I haven't actually looked at the top 8 after it shook out, but
I'm talking about the Invitational here specifically. For those that played in the GT, I apologize that I'm not talking about that particular tournament right now. I don't have it in front of me.
I'm pretty sure most of it bears out to be pretty similar, and that I'm pretty sure Rebels won both tournaments.
Yes,
Rebels won both. Yeah.
The lists were very similar.
Yeah, basically sleeper cell with Rebel Soup, essentially, right?
Yeah, and I want to say the finals for both tournaments were Rebel Mirrors, but I'm not positive about the GT.
For the GT, it was the Rebel list versus an Obi-Wan Triple Commando list, actually, which is... Okay. Sort of close to the list that was the first like post Anakin changes GT winner from Wales, so it was pretty similar to that. But that did end up being the runner up for the GT was that Obi-Wan list. Over in the Invitational, the top 4 was 3 Rebel Good Stuff list, one of which was a little bit different. This was Austin Miller's list because he had 2 buses. It was sort of like the next generation, the slightly less tricky version of the Brian Baird special that we had talked about a couple episodes ago, where it was 2 buses and Operative Luke. There wasn't any R2 because both Austin and Brian are smart enough to not try to mess with that these days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like aside from that, there were 2 Rebel Soups, one of which ended up winning. And then the other aspect of the LVO top 4 was a Geonosian plus Maul spam list, including Poggle, and then 5 super Geonosian units and 1 regular Geonosian unit, along with 3 staps.
Daps. Wow.
That list, obviously the strength of it was that it can sort of pivot to a lot of different parts of the board as need be, because
basically
everything's triple moving.
Everything in the list has 3 activations.
Yeah, exactly, including them all. Yeah. I think we expected Rebels to do well, and they certainly did. Some of us expected Anakin and Republic list to perform a little bit better, but you know, we'll talk about it more next week. But I'm starting to wonder if the vulnerability to Pierce, along with the kind of nerfed offense from the Republic corner, is just like means that it's and also the lower activation count is that
I think that's the big
that
thing.
that makes it tough against these Rebel list to where they can run 13 activations, and if 3 of them are either 2 of them or 3 of them, if they ran 2, it's because they have a slinger squad for like economy reasons, which is still darn good for the money. But that ends up being too much to handle when you also have ATRTs and Han and Leia or Luke, and there's just so much stuff to deal with in either 4 or 5 turns, is that I feel like a lot of lists just can't put enough damage onto it to really make a dent.
Yeah, I think there was a Din Djarin on the winning list. If I
there was
I
yeah
yeah mm-hmm. Mike, yeah. Michael Liss
and the Bad Batch Rebel Bad Batch yeah. That's right.
I've been saying Rebel Bad Batch is the best Rebel unit for a while now.
Yeah,
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, a lot of sleeper cell though.
Yeah.
And there was also an 18 activation Rebel list.
That was Mowgli, the same guy who ran 21 act.
Okay, same guy that did 21. So he cut down, trimmed some fat to go down to 18.
Well, he went down to 18 to put 3 sleeper cell units.
Okay,
in
yeah,
seems like a good idea. He's great. A smart guy. He did very well. I forget what his final record was.
He was 5-1 in Invitational. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the top eight. So yeah, six rebels, two droids in the top eight. Notably, also five of the top eight were from either Florida or from Virginia. So,
East Coast going all the way to Nevada.
Yep.
Yeah, buddy.
East Coast, best coast.
Always has been. Always will be.
Yep.
I'm outnumbered, so I'm just gonna stay quiet.
Incidentally, yeah. So there was one from California. But then the other two were Quebec, which I still think East Coast can claim. You know what? Did I miscount? No, and then Texas. So
yeah,
you know, East Coast, best coast.
And the California guy was J.R. Dieter, who has, like, I think since the very first LVO has always been at least in the top eight, like every single year, pretty much.
He's
won one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played him the year that we referenced earlier.
That's right.
I played him in the top eight. He was running Shadow Collective at the time, but
yeah, he was the Geonosian guy. So he bought and glued. I don't know how many boxes of those that you need to put together.
The answer 11. Is 11.
11.
11. My God.
Yeah, that's
the low price of 11 boxes of Geonosian.
And he actually painted all of them. They looked good on the stream. And he was smart because he painted the tops of the wings different colors, so you could actually tell units apart, even though that's a little bit on the edge of being thematic. But as long as otherwise, if you weren't doing that, then that would be really frustrating for both the player and the opponent. So good on him for that.
Yeah, and there are ways to do that. I mean, I don't have all my Geonosians fully painted, but I did wing tips, and I did it with an airbrush. So there's a little bit of a fade.
Yeah,
and I tried to make it consistent with. I did kind of bright colors for my Geonosians, so it doesn't look ridiculous to have an orange wingtip, you know. Squad markings are important.
I've been waiting this whole episode for Kyle to get into hobby, Kyle. I'm ready. Let's
Should I roll the hobby talk intro?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, I think you can do some real easy squad markings with Geonosians in general. With the way, I mean, there's lots of different ways to do it, but you know, it's bright colors come to them kind of naturally anyway. Like they're kind of insectoid, and there's lots of brightish colored insects. So if you want to do a squad marking scheme where it looks natural, then pick some bright colors for your dudes and it looks fine.
As long as you're not just painting the edge of the base, right, Kyle?
No, I mean, look.
Kyle hates that. Yeah,
Kyle hates that. That's one of my first memories of listening to the podcast is Kyle going, you know what? If you're just painting the edge of the base, you're a slab. Let me tell you these cool ways that you can do it instead.
And you know what the funny thing is? I literally did that with all. That's how I could tell mine apart.
And right, I had just started playing, and that's what I had done to tell my guys apart. And I was like, oh.
You guys are hating on this man for being right. I don't.
Hey, look. You know what? It is a step above some other methods I've seen because it is. The most important thing with squad markings is to be clear.
Right.
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 And I've seen some people do well, this squad has one grass tuft on it, and this squad has two grass tufts on their base, and this squad has three.
Yeah. Hopefully a tuft didn't fall off in your luggage on the way here.
Right. When they're all up next to each other, it's that's a lot of grass. You just tell me. So yeah, I would say that yes, I did disparage the squad marking on the bases, but it is still a step up from many other methods that I have seen, including, by the way, that some people do I painted two lines on the back of the base, two thin lines, and then this other squad I painted three lines on the back of the base, and it's I can't see the back of the base, A, and B, that's really small. Okay. But not helpful. Super important. Do your squad markings, make them clear, paint your bases if you need to. I don't know. I mean, there are better ways to do it, but paint your bases if you need to.
Wow.
If you asked me of all the things that we would talk about tonight, this was not on the list.
Yeah, squad markings.
It was just like one of my first memories of listening to Notorious Scoundrels is Kyle harshing on being.
You should just caption this episode, Kyle rants about squad markings.
Put squad markings in the title. Okay.
So, great time, I'm sure, for everyone that was at LVO. Sorry I couldn't be there. I had every intention of going, but,
life.
Shipping off next week, so I can't. Well, I mean, physically I would, but again, selling that to my wife, I deemed unwise. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Smart man.
Honey, can I spend my last weekend here in Vegas?
Without you, by the way.
Yes.
No, you can't come.
Yeah. Boys weekend.
I'll send you pictures.
Yep. Yeah. I'll take lots of photos. I'll bring back some swag.
There'll be a trophy.
Yep. Yeah,
I just want to mention real quick that I noticed when Luke Cook was filming his part of that video that he had the two Legion Worlds trophies behind.
Did he? Oh yeah, I didn't notice that.
I mean, I think he definitely thought about that. He put the Bills hat on.
No, for sure, intentional.
Yeah. I did the Bills hat. I definitely noted that. I did not see the Worlds trophies. I'll have to go back and watch it. That's good.
The Bills hat was a little rough for me because I'm a Ravens fan, so it's a little too soon.
Mm-hmm. No, it's perfect timing because the Bills are the best. I will bring up one more little memory that's one of my favorites to always bring up with these guys is about Luke Cook. And I think they know where I'm going with this. Way back in the day, so Luke's from my area, we went to a tournament, and I get on the horn with these guys. I'm behind the glass. I'm like, man, there's this kid up here. I think he might be the best player I've ever seen in my life. And they were calling me Homer. And they were like saying, oh, yeah, whatever, Jay, you're not even that good at this game. And then next thing we know, he's the world champion.
I mean, in our defense, track record shows that, you should have been wrong, right?
Why? Who else did I say was the best ever?
No, not with you. Not with you specifically.
Oh, okay.
But it's, pretty common for people to be, speak of the best player in their local meta this guy's great. He's gonna crush everybody. And then whoever that person is goes to a tournament, and they find out that their local meta is pretty small.
Yeah. Yep.
That's, the standard Kyle. Practice. I know. That was not the Luke Cook experience, obviously. But there was a time in Legion before Luke Cook was on the map. I know it's hard to envision such a time. It was not a very long time, but there was a time.
Mike, look at Mike shaking his head.
I feel like we had a very defensible position on that whole thing.
Maybe. You were still wrong.
You get excited very easily, Jay.
Not anymore. That was year one, Legion, Jay. This is...
all right. You guys got anything else?
Yeah, we're gonna miss you, pal.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. This has been kind of a wild ride. From if I had thought that this is where we would end up when we started this, when 7 years ago, this I don't know.
I would not have predicted that either.
No. Yeah. And I think you don't like getting sentimental, but this. For me, this group of people has just been a really foundational part of my life for the past 7 years, and I'm gonna miss you, bud. So,
yeah, I mean, I'll miss you too. I'll miss you. I'll miss you on the recording. We will. It's I will still be in touch, obviously.
Yeah.
Later this year, I will still be able to come to game stores and do stuff, and I certainly intend to. I'll still be on Discord for those that are wanting to hit me up. But yeah, I mean, Mike, you were in particular one of the first people I played at all in Legion. And immediately was like, hey, this is somebody that I could really get along with. We were very simpatico from the get-go, I feel like, on the same understanding with the terms of how we played the game and everything. So, I'll definitely miss hanging out with you and talking every week live on recording about it. But we can still talk about Legion, obviously.
I'm not sure in this fashion. We'll talk in our closed door sessions on Discord behind the thing. But
that is not what your contracts say.
You are not allowed.
Should we tell him, Kyle?
Yeah, that's the real surprise of this episode.
Yep.
This whole time.
What NDA?
Kyle, I'll just quickly say that from the Blog Boys angle is that I appreciate just the fact that you continue to be supportive of 100% of the stupid ideas that I've had for the blog over the years.
That's because they're not stupid ideas, Evan. If you had stupid ideas, I would tell you.
As long as they're stupid but entertaining, that's fair.
Yeah.
And you know, I would say thank you to Jay, but I know that he didn't read it anyway. But I do want to say thank you to you for being willing to just like let one of your writers sort of have free reign and to let me have like a way to express myself for an audience. And that has been a really nice break from the day-to-day of work, which can be sort of rough sometimes. So really appreciate you enabling that for me.
I'll tell you, I've never fully read one of your articles, but I've dealt with all the commenters who said, did you know Evan is asking for help in his latest article? And I go, don't bother.
Yeah. Remember when people thought that I was actually a hostage in your basement?
Yeah. Yeah. That was real, folks. I got real messages about that. And I think it was worse that I just bought into it. I go, he'll be fine if he keeps working.
Let me go feed him right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I forgot to feed him today.
Yeah. I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
They released that?
No, I mean, Evan, it's been great having you as a writer and as a co-editor. Obviously, we've been partners on the blog staff for a while here now. So, and now I know that I can hand all the editing off to someone that I have no qualms about, you know, succeeding. So, yeah, it's been great. And I just want to thank all the blog staff too. If you're listening to this, over the years we've had a lot of writers. I've edited a lot of articles. Everybody's been great. So thanks to everybody that's contributed to the Fifth Trooper over the years, and particularly those that I've had editing responsibility for. Mm-hmm. So, and Jay, thanks for giving me my first shot. You know, you're the one that first believed in me as a content creator. So I really appreciate that. You know, it's been great getting to know you over the years, hanging out with you over all these years. So.
Yeah, man, you guys, I mean, really, you know, I even now, you know, with Evan doing a lot more of the front end work, you know, you guys are what made the Fifth Trooper. And I just had this crazy idea that we could all be on like one space talking about stuff that we love. And you guys made it possible. So like, thanks to you guys, you know.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, we, you know, just literally all we have to do is talk about a game that we love more. And then write it down or record it. So it's been great. I couldn't have imagined a better opportunity related to how I spend my free nerd time, basically. And thanks to all the listeners too. You know, I've appreciated you over the years. I hope that all of you continue listening to Scoundrels, even without me on it. Obviously these guys are great. Have been great, will continue to be great. So yeah.
I recommend you guys all continue to listen to Scoundrels in case Kyle shows back up one day.
Yeah.
Right? So just...
Way to dangle that out there, Jay. Somebody's going to say...
Who knows?
Jay promised he would be back.
I'm going to just randomly show up for a guest episode one day.
Yeah, you got to keep them hooked, Evan. That's how
that,
we keep them
that
hooked.
That actually would be a good gag, is to just like with no pomp, just have you introduce an episode in like September or something.
Yeah. I'm sure that could probably.
Yeah, hopefully people have forgotten I said that just now, and that way it'll be a better surprise.
They'll be genuinely surprised. Yeah, it can definitely be arranged. All right. Well, if you guys don't have anything else, I'm gonna do the sign off.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta land this plane sometime, right?
That's what they say.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I've been trying to like slip the Kyle quotes in over the course of the cast. I don't know that I've actually done that well.
We could do a whole episode about Kyle quotes.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. We could. Yep. All right. Well, we are the Notorious Scoundrels. I'm Kyle.
I'm Mike.
I'm Evan.
I'm Jay.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Stay cool, Fruit Matt.